Oh, you never know what song by Noiseworks we'll play next here at Get This. Good morning, everyone, around the nation on Triple M. It's the final show for the week. It's myself, Tony
Malone.
Thanks, Mr. Rudd. Let me get the show going here. We've got Sir Ed Cavalier.
Clever, cunning, and perhaps just a little cynical.
And pushing the buttons, it's Richard Marsland.
No.
Oh.
Bad luck, Rich. Up you go.
No big deal when it comes to Rudd.
He's out of control there, Rudd. Could you just electrocute him, Mr. Marsland?
Sure thing.
He likes that. He likes it.
He certainly does.
He loves an electrode on the thigh.
Yeah. We're going to be covering the election in depth here at This, aren't we?
I think we are.
Mm-hmm. We must be.
Sounds like something we do.
No one about it in depth.
Never mind about these. Let's forget about that. What about lookalikes? They're coming in thick and fast here again. This Richard Marsland. Does he look like that to you? You think that's Richard Marsland?
That's like a handsome guy. That's a handsome bloke from the OC.
Someone from the OC, Richard. Is that you?
Oh, okay. That's the guy that looks like Russell Crowe.
Okay.
Yep. All right. What else have we got? Because so far it's been Jason Bateman. Fairly handsome actor.
Sure.
Who else did we have?
John Ritter.
John Ritter.
That's not popular.
Not unattractive.
No.
Another actor. Okay, now let's look at our lookalikes, Tony.
Yeah.
It's cartoon characters.
Sure is.
Female country and western singers. Listeners.
Very sad.
I think you might have got the wrong impression of what we're looking for here. We want women that look like Richard. Animal.
Well,
Melbourne Cup winners. Phil Smythe, NBL era basketball players.
What about Boris Grushenko from the GoldenEye 007 Nintendo game?
That's me.
That's you, sir.
That certainly is me.
Is it Alan Cumming?
It is, yeah.
I think it might be.
Yeah.
It's a joke here. Think of a person called Alan. Make your own fun. But that's actually, well, he's computer generated in the game. I think I'm being more lookalike for the game than for Alan Cumming.
No, absolutely right. You're more digital in real life, Joe.
What about Greek fleet worship? Yeah, I'm just going around the grounds here.
Oh, yes. What's happening with fleeting?
Well, apparently, listen to this. This is sport related.
Hmm.
Oh, this person's just anonymous.
Oh.
I don't want any of your fun to be made.
Mm.
I've just come home from the inaugural game of the Australian Rugby Championship at North Sydney Oval. I was amused to hear the supporters of the Sydney Fleet cheering for an hour and a half. All I heard was people screaming, Fleet, 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 good work, Fleet, I love you, Fleet. And all I could think about was the creator of jumper pants. then there's some stats. Don't need to know about that. I'm thinking, we've got to get to these games with a tape recorder and get some of these fleet chants on tape.
This is good to plug him in when he comes in next.
Yeah, it'll be all downhill from there.
Yeah, but that's fine.
But we'll go with that.
An hour and a half of waffle after that.
Finally, we're interested in sports.
Not bad, they finally come to the party.
And while we're talking lookalikes and name-alikes, you might remember we played the Grant Spatchcock piece.
Yes, we did.
And I explained why he called Grant Spatchcock. Unlikely name.
Probably no one's called Spatchcock.
That's right, because the legal department didn't want us to have it named after anyone.
Yeah.
Real. Jason Spatchcock has called us. He's not very happy. No, he's never heard the name Spatchcock used in a comedy sketch before. After years...
Really? Has he really not?
Well, he's
a cock on the end of it.
After years of genital jokes from friends and the like, I now have a claim to fame that isn't cock-related.
Oh,
wow. Fantastic. Great show. Can you replay it? Well, we don't want to replay it again.
No.
It's part of the massive Get This website.
TripleM.com.au/get this.
Somewhere in there.
Somewhere amongst the pictures of Richard with his eyes closed. Comes on the balcony.
Prior offences is what you want to go through.
Excellent work. A lot of sketches up there.
Right back through those, and it's in there. I'm waiting now for us to hear from someone whose real name is Daryl Felt. I'm sure that's going to explode in our face. Someone tells me this is a real Warwick Capper. I can't believe it.
Oh, dear. Outrageous.
What have you got there?
Got an email.
Yes.
This is from teleprompter@bot.com.
Mm-hmm.
It says that all of the stuff about Karl Stefanovic being a robot has been banned from Wikipedia.
Yeah,
except this line the teleprompter has snuck in. Stefanovic was appointed as a fill-in teleprompter for Ron Wilson in Sydney.
Give him some points for that one.
Not bad. Well done, son.
Robert De Niro is in town, flogging his new restaurant in Melbourne, I think, at the moment.
Yeah.
He's been giving away a lot. He's been dropping some bombshells. Listen to this.
Well, I like, well, you know, you eat every day, so you can't escape. Sometimes I enjoy it.
Worth having a press conference for.
Absolutely right.
Don't think the bombshells stop there.
I like the car. That's one of my favourites.
Yeah, likes the cod. Reported running for a row of phone boxes.
Now I've got the cod's perspective on this. Who's talking to cod? Cod's gone silent.
You've been across the De Niro restaurant caper, haven't you, Mr. Marvel?
Yeah, have I? In fact, I popped in last night. Fantastic. He's so hands-on, Robert De Niro, when it comes to his own restaurant. He's a very friendly waiter.
Buy a nice juicy steak or whatever you want, okay? Like, it's whatever you want.
But then when you go behind the scenes, things get out of control when it comes to the steak.
The face is all quivers. Yeah, I just said overcooking. You're overcooking. Bring it over. Bring it over!
The guy's passionate about his food. In fact, if you look at Cape Fear, if you pause him at the right moment, just before he bites a chunk out of Ileana Douglas's cheek, he spices it with some salt and pepper.
Yeah, the mayonnaise is up to in rehearsal.
A little bit of garlic.
Oregano.
Get food out of the way. Let's get the hard news next. I'll get this.
Blues here. Get this around the nation on Triple M at the end of the week. So we're getting through the backlog of correspondence. We do get a lot in here. Now, we don't read it out on air. Don't panic. We are reading all of it.
Absolutely right.
It's just so much.
It's so much good stuff. I've got one here from Matthew Thorpe.
Yes.
Who writes in and says, "Hi, guys. I heard the show the other day and you're talking about Australian shows people would like to get on DVD."
Yes.
Fascinating. Country full of soap operas that people have come up to me in the street and said, "I've never heard of them before, but you guys seem to like them. Thank you very much."
Oh, come on. People remember East Street with Mr. Bad. It's not just us.
Absolutely right. We're doing our job. He said he'd love to see the complete moments of Todd Rickson.
Oh, yeah.
He's the guy that pulled his hamstring while dancing on Potluck.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. You've seen this, don't
you? I had seen it, and the weird thing about that is it didn't actually go to air. It was on... they sent some Potluck episodes to us, and on the front of the tape, they had this clip of the bloke doing his hamstring.
And he's in full flight when it happened.
Yeah, and Ernie Sigley has to come and help him. And I think he might have had a second go, and that's the one that was in the show.
Yes.
So we played this on the Late Show years ago. Not yesterday. just in 1993.
What's up with this cool shirt?
The day before yesterday. Hang on a second. I'm wearing acid wash. And then it's been on all these great moments in TV. It's been around the world on great disasters on TV.
Yeah.
And as we have to point out, it never went to air.
Brilliant.
So technically, the great moment in TV was when we showed it on our
show. You'd made a clip show.
So we've wangled our way into clip shows around the world.
Dick Clark might have thrown the Late Show. It may well have happened. But however, he says, do we have any other footage, any other great dancing footage? Well, being a radio show, footage isn't going to work very well.
No.
But we've got some great audio of Richard at it on the dance floor at an alternative nightclub called Crankshaw.
Button
pushing buttons.
I've never seen so many buttons pushed in a row.
Jeez.
Just while we're mentioning, nostalgia and the late, but don't forget the olden days, Bar Jars double feature DVD is in the shops now.
Brilliant publicity, though.
Yeah.
Covert publicity.
It's hard to escape. It's everywhere. They haven't sent any copies to us to give away.
No.
They haven't sent any copies to reviewers.
No.
We're going to see the publicity is this.
Yeah, we're leading the charge.
Me talking about how there's no publicity. That is the publicity.
What a plan.
But while we're talking obscure TV shows, listen to this. This is Ken Wiggin. And Mr. Wiggin says, there was a show years ago on Channel 9 called Kings, the early 80s, starred Ed Devereaux and Deborah Lee Furnett. It was about a tow trucking family called The King. It's a pretty good show, actually, but it didn't rate very well and got cancelled early. Leading to a bizarre ending with Devereaux dying in his lounge chair to suggest that with his passing, the family tow business couldn't continue to run. So, right, they've obviously acted halfway through. What have they done? They've gone, oh, just get that shot of Ed sitting in that armchair
asleep.
And we'll just, freeze on it and run a caption. And it was all a dream.
Right.
He passed away, end of series.
Anyone else know how to drive?
No. Guests choose to stay at the people down here. But I'm amazed, though, we didn't mention that one. He's thinking maybe we don't know about Kings. Well, this is just the excuse I need to play a clip from the olden days. And you talk about playing visual footage on the radio.
this is overdubbed onto an episode of Rush.
Yeah.
But in this scene, I think King does get mentioned.
Hey, mate, wasn't that the guy you said play school?
Yes, that's right.
See, I told you.
Yeah.
Haven't we seen you somewhere before?
My resume.
Jeez, look, Bellevue High, Holiday Island, Tourist Rising Kings. Ah, you've been served down under? Wow, you've done it all. You reckon you could get us into a really bad scene in the olden days?
I just have, gentlemen.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
There you go, thank you. Rob Fish,
brilliant work.
Big Malloy in there, that's out on DVD now.
Baffling, but all those shows, I'm amazed they didn't come up the other day. Andrew Mercado, who's bringing a lot of these out on DVD, he says the master tapes of Are You Being Served Down Under, have gone missing.
I'm looking at you, Shane Bourne.
Shane Bourne, yeah.
He's hidden them somewhere.
He's terrified that that's going to come out of
him. I know how he feels.
Yeah.
A date with a bulk eraser. Remember the bulk eraser? Everyone's best friend.
Poor old Bordy. He was telling me the other day, he was sympathising with how every time there's an article about me, it's
my favourite Martin.
My favourite Martin is going, yeah, well, I get born to be wild every time. Of course, you've joined the club, Ed, with Cavalier Approach.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Oh, what for Marsland?
Yeah, no, you can't do anything with that.
Marsland Explorer?
My favourite Marsland. You can jump on my train. Marslicious is okay.
Yeah,
Marslicious. Richard, they'll probably use something. I dare say there's a couple of angles there.
I'll think of them. What about ringtones? Now, people say, why isn't this a ringtone? Why isn't that a ringtone? Often we can't get the rights.
Even though we're not selling them, they're free.
Yes. If it's a line from a movie, you know, like this is the last line from Mad Dog Morgan.
Don't forget the scrotum.
I don't think we can put the last line of a movie up there without getting into trouble.
Ran into a bloke in the gym yesterday.
Yes.
Just in the shower.
Sure.
Hey? He didn't forget it?
No, we didn't. Richard, don't look at me like that. He told me that he's got Richard's finger butts as his ringtone.
And get your hand off my ass.
Yeah. Does
he really?
He does. Because what he said he did is he cut and pasted it somehow. I said, how'd you do that? He goes, I'm a nerd, mate. Just wandered off.
Beautiful. People obviously want this as a ringtone.
Many times before, the taking of Pelham 1-2-3.
Fantastic movie.
The original version. Walter Matthau, Robert Shaw, 70s here. Go and look it up if you want that for yourself.
As for politics, though, oh, man, there's an election coming up.
There is.
We're going to be covering it in depth.
Particularly his day job. Police heading.
Every time we've tried to play Kevin Rudd clip today,
something's going on.
Something is going wrong.
ALP computer inside us.
Let's go to a song and we'll see if we can get it right.
Good
time around.
I'll get this.
Madness Our House here again. This brought to you by the Nissan Navara. We need the Nissan Navara in here today. Computer shut itself.
We're trying to give people the impression that this is going to be the best election coverage on radio.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it's going to be?
I will not shrink from a fight with anybody.
Ah, there we go.
We've been waiting for half an hour for that.
It's worth it, though.
It's worth it.
Where are you getting those R's from?
Oh, it's all from one particular interview.
Right.
Where we isolated a grab.
Oh, yeah.
Can we hear that again?
That's a practical solution. What's Mr. Howard's? 6 weeks before an election. There's a hospital in Devonport. I'm in trouble in the state of Braddon. I've got a $50 million. Thank you.
It's amazing how much fun you can have with one thing.
Yeah, I think you can do a lot more.
Do you think so?
That was piss week, that thing that you just played.
Well, let's try something musical.
Let's do something musical.
We'll come up with better uses for it as the program continues.
Dirty Beatles are back.
What's happened? Oh, you know, there's a lot of complaints recently. Discontinued food. People say, where's the birdie gone? Unavailable in show bags at the Ecker.
Which is on right now.
But the idea that there's a warehouse full of birdies for show bag use only when the public are clamouring for them. Well, apparently Nestle have made them available again in a fun bag.
Hang on a second.
A fun bag of 17.
How is that fun?
It's not fun.
He thinks that they're only available in Safeway stores.
I don't know.
Get out there and see what you can find.
Dirty buffs.
What else have we got? Oh, politics. Talking politics. John Pascarelli is back on the scene.
Okay, this is the bald guy.
If you're having trouble picturing him.
Yeah, I don't know who he is.
TV Batman fans remember when Otto Preminger played Mr. Freeze? You have to think back.
Yeah, that's got it. Oh, you know, Otto Preminger.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're nodding their heads in the sales department.
Just think Mr. Freeze.
Okay. What if they haven't seen either a 1960s television show or that article that you're holding?
Full blood. You hang out with Pauline Hanson.
Brilliant.
They're back together. They're back together, and listen to this, great. This isn't a cynical sort of exploitation of the electorate.
No, not at all.
This is it's Mr. Pasquarelli, former crocodile hunter, said Miss Hanson was a serious candidate and more relevant than ever. I think it's better than what it was before, what with 9/11, Cronulla and Hawali. What? What does he mean by that?
Okay.
Lots of issues on the table there. Hawali, Cronulla, 9/11, it's all the same, it's all... You can feel a bloke wanting to use the word cowhead.
You can really can.
You can, okay.
Holding himself back.
Yeah. So I said, well, it's all on the table, Pauline. Halali, 9/11. Cronulla, I reckon their $200,000 registration fee is as good as ours. It's easy to get people fired up about them. All we need is 4% of the vote.
Thanks very much.
Money in the bank.
If you want to stop September 11 from happening, vote for Pauline Hanson and her $200,000 time tunnel.
Don't forget, when you vote for a political party, it's not just the issues in the 50-50 column they're going to be talking about. They have to know how to run things like the economy.
We'll see about that tone. We will see about that.
Halali, 9/11. Cronulla, you're angry, aren't you?
I am now.
Give me $200,000.
Yeah, then she'll fix up Cronulla and give Halali a... Yeah, she'll make him assimilate to something.
That'll learn him.
What else is going
pretty
on?
Pretty cheap. That's pretty cheap. $200,000 to get those issues on the table is pretty cheap.
Cronulla.
It's a hotbed. It's a hotbed down there. And it's all tied in with 9/11 and Halali, apparently.
That Halali.
A political party that bases itself on letters to the editor.
Yeah, absolutely.
See, I lie awake. When I go to sleep at night, I'm lying awake going, well, Cronulla. That Halali. I've got $200,000 and I don't know what to do with it. Who can help me?
Just call it the YOY party. What are your policies? We're going to stop people saying Mal instead of Mall.
Brilliant.
We're going to make young people stand up on the bus.
It's about time.
What about the economy? Halali.
Halali did it. Halali's always doing it with his trade gaps.
That's well worth investing your Democratic vote in.
Absolutely right.
The United Australia Party. What have you got over there? Big news?
Borges.
Borges is, I don't know if I can use the phrase taking off.
Yeah. Well, look at this, Dan Binns. Has emailed in and said, in this hyped up technological world, it's hard to keep all your computer files and the latest get this podcast at hand. That's why I've taped a USB to my face.
Oh, it's the yes.
To be part of Borges. He's doing, look at that, he's doing a bad.
Now, I don't want people to think we're just holding blank pieces of paper up to the microphone.
There's a gallery going up on the Triple M.
It's already there.
Oh, it's already.
It's not like us at all. It's already there for you to enjoy.
Congratulations.
The faces of Borges.
Now, what are we playing for? Tone. Tell them what they're playing for, Tone.
A model helicopter.
Second prize?
A smaller model helicopter.
Third prize?
One you can't see.
Dad!
It's under a slide or a microscope.
An invisible one. All prizes on goodies are invisible and imaginary.
No, the helicopters are in fact real in this instance. Although, are they prizes?
Oh, no, gifts.
Yeah.
Oh, gifts. Sorry, promotions.
Yeah, like we're running the United Australia Party.
You're right.
All right, the listeners, they're so full of good ideas. Office party. Now, when I mentioned the phrase office party's gone horribly wrong in the opening of the show, I looked over and in the corner of my eye, I could see about 10 people in sales just look up in terror. What's he going to be talking about?
Get the cyanide pills out.
They didn't take any photos last Friday night, did they?
Oh, they did.
That'll be next. I'll get this.
I don't trust either one of them.
Congratulations on Triple M, home, coincidentally. Don't forget this podcast.
How are we, Tone?
It's not finished yet, but there will be one up for the weekend this week.
Ooh, stoners.
Not stoners. Let's call them weekend smokers, okay? They send us very incoherent, slightly angry emails.
Yeah,
they get confusing at the email office.
It's 117, I believe.
117, you got a song for that, Rich?
No, I don't, unfortunately.
117. Let's never hear that again. What about listening to all of our podcasts in reverse? That's what the foolish Greg Collins is doing.
Greg.
Oh,
I've begun listening to your program on a regular basis and I'm working through the podcast in reverse order, Guy Pearce memento style. There are fewer references to previous shows. Don't make any sense. I'm working most of it out, though. I'm slightly annoyed at your constant references to It's a Knockout. Surely this is a poor copy of the fabulous Almost Anything Goes from 1976, starring Kim Evans and Sean Kramer, with refereeing by the great Ronald Dale Barassi. Says Greg, my family lived right across the road from Channel North, and we spent many nights huddled under a blanket, crying and waving a little plastic flag under some pretense we gave a rat's clacker about whether the Lions Club of Upper Bumhole would defeat the Frankston under-50s croquet and Lamington Society in the skillful manipulation and delivery of inner tubes from one end of the field to the other. I still have nightmares. Unquote, Greg Collins. Thank you. Very vivid memory. Something that happened 30 years ago. Almost Anything Goes. I don't remember that.
I've never seen it. That's before our time.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Well, just for Greg Collins, we will not mention It's a Knockout again. Let's have Talkback Mountain next back after this song. Stop it. Shut it out. Hold section. Right. Now play something sensible. Two,
on serenading each other with thanks for the memories.
Okay, it's Friday. It's time to be encouraging. Nork talk, Nicky Hamilton. You're meant to be the grown up in this room.
Yeah,
I saw Richard die for the horn then. Ding 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 ding.
That's one. Ding ding ding. That's the best one.
I see what people want, and that's more Dutch. They do want Dutch, but also they like it Kiwi.
Ooh.
When we play clips from Police 10-7, yeah, which is seen on Foxtel on the Crime Investigation Network. It's kind of like a New Zealand version of Cops.
But do watch out if you turn on the CI Network, because there's every chance that you'll just turn it on, bang, a severed torso.
Sure.
Back at you.
Fair bit of severed torso work. Enlivened occasionally by the odd drunk in New Zealand. Here's what Ryan C. is doing. Mm-hmm. He's so into the Police 10-7 gear, it's inspired him to create an alter ego, Kiwi Jim. Many a phone call has been made to unsuspecting people asking where the party is and using famous lines like,
"You're racist."
And of course,
"You're just racist, man."
He loves this one.
"What are you charging me for?"
"You've been arrested for the same language."
Got to have a beeping machine to do that one properly.
Yeah, the fence.
He's a big fan of
assault. Assault. "You touched me, officer. Sorry."
And, of course, the evergreen.
Oh, come.
Yes, they've all poured on out in the wider community, apparently. Okay, you can't read out the rest of that. No. All right, let's go climbing, shall we, up Talkback Mountain? Topic today, office parties.
Richard,
why are we doing that? Nothing to do with the Triple M office party risk.
Of course not. Tell you what, though.
No, we've been sworn to silence.
Tell you what, last Friday it was on.
I didn't get along.
I heard you didn't.
I heard it was really on.
Real fruit fest. Because I left fairly early. I was on the soda waters.
And I sort of bacchanalian display. And
really, I locked the doors. It got Roman in there, man.
Oh, it's vomitory.
It's unbelievable.
Okay, we don't want to name any names.
We can't name any names, but you know who you are.
But it's not heading towards, you know, lawsuit country or... No. What's going on with that woman from Telstra? Be careful what you say here.
Right? I don't fully understand the story, but as what I've read, and alleged blanket, yeah, by everyone.
Yeah.
Try your alleged blanket on right now.
All right. Crazy.
And, so some sort of sex romp. In a bath.
Where someone was having to use the toilet. So it's sounding great, isn't it?
That's right. So we had to use the toilet while some other action was going on in the corner bath.
Okay.
And so she was embarrassed. There's been a couple of sackings, counter lawsuits and what have you. However, her photo was in the paper today, as a matter of fact.
And you said, quite hot.
It was for a sex rom.
I never said good.
Because I did assume, actually, when I saw the thing on the sex rom, I was like, they're not even going to be hot. And then they were. I was like, pretty sweet deal.
Okay. So, I just like to think
just, I love. Have you ever been in a romp?
No, I've never been in a romp, you know?
You're romp ready.
How does it go from general sort of coitus, you know, on the departure lounge of the, you know, from the headset that's now in my house, into romp territory, you know what I mean? If someone needs to be going to the toilet in the corner, so be it.
I like to think, when you're on hold at Telstra for hours and hours, that's what's going on. They're all in a bath in the corner.
I can hear a bath running. No, I can. I can hear a bath running. That's slurping.
Right,
you've been in a romp. Give us the call.
It's not.
Oh.
Have you been in a romp? What happened at your office party? Be careful, people. Change names for God's sake.
Yeah, I mean, I only thought they said yes at Optus, but apparently,
no change for that.
Friday, man.
Okay, here's.
I remember. How do we clean this up?
Well, years ago at Triple M,
okay.
I remember there was a bit of a office party
mm-hmm.
in the sales department,
mm-hmm.
and the cleaners came in, and I just love the visual poetry of this. Cleaners came in on a Saturday morning and found two people from the sales department, nude and unconscious, on the floor. This is the part I love. Surrounded by complimentary MTV condoms.
How a radio station is that?
All right.
Okay, that's the kind of stuff we're looking for. Just detailed moments, stories from your office party.
But maybe change the name. What if, I mean, you've worked at so many stations, been sacked from so many, Richard.
Yeah, that's true. One of the best Christmas parties of all time was it started at 6 p.m. and it went until about 2 a.m. at an intensity.
Fantastic.
Really? And that alcohol with the combination of the horsey game.
Perhaps
around later in the evening, not the best combination.
Really?
There's a lot of shaking up and what have you.
Ooh.
So, yeah, they had a lot of cleaning up to do.
A lot of buck hunter, if you know what I'm saying.
That is a good Christmas party, actually.
I've never seen people in sales looking so nervous.
Well, I've actually seen there three of them have lined up on a couch and they're waving their hand. They're ready to name names.
That's a romp on that couch. That's what your romp looks like.
I just want to point out the MTV condom story. They were sacked years ago.
Yeah. Not you people. All right. Matt Parkins is looking nervous.
Oh, man. Put him back on, Parkins.
He's putting a coat over his head.
See the
what was he up to at that party?
Wow.
We're not talking about the Triple M party.
Okay.
We want to hear about your office party.
Keep it rompy.
1-3-3-5-3.
That's Chris Isaac, maybe in a bad thing. What a wonderful video.
Very appropriate.
Well, this song, we're talking office parties here at Cooker Bound. It's a bit crowded up the mountain today.
Yeah, I'll tell you what's happened, Tom. We've announced this segment, and I've never seen so many people from the sales department with their faces to the glass. They're very nervous as we welcome Stu from Creative.
Hi, Stu.
Possibly in a different country.
Me and a girl needed to find some private time. We didn't realise that we'd used someone's office, and the boss was still actually at the party, and she was going home, so she needed to get a bag, and so she kind of walked in and turned on the light and stepped over us, got a bag, stepped back over us, closed the door and turned off the light.
And are you guys still together?
No! Not quite.
What is that? Where is that accent from, Stu?
New Zealand.
Oh, which part?
Auckland.
Auckland, that's 25 miles west of Hobbiton. Following on the local map.
Thank you, Stu.
Wow, that was much less libelous than everyone out there thought it was going to be.
They're nervous, aren't they, Tone?
Wow.
Lots of people resigning on the spot. Good news. Hi there, Phil. How are you?
How are you going? Love your show.
Thank you, brother. Phil, what happened?
Oh, it was a couple of years ago at my work Christmas party. I got there late, fashionably late, about an hour or so, which is always a good thing. And I got there and it was a Christmas party. And I got there and I was doing the nice cordial thing, kiss on the cheek, oh, hi everyone, yeah, Merry Christmas, all that kind of stuff. And the secretary, who was a bit under the weather by then, she sort of stumbles up in the line of people sort of saying hi, Merry Christmas kind of thing. And she just comes up to me and just licks me across the face and stumbles off and keeps walking. And all my friends are just Christmas, we just, not a word was said, but we just looked at each other and went, okay, not a word was spoken about it since.
Lovely. Are you strawberry flavoured, Phil?
I am, mate. Yeah. A bit of chocolate covering here.
That's probably what she was after.
Well, that's usually just the entree to what happens around. I mean, that wouldn't even, you know, make a newsletter out.
She wouldn't even stop for that. No, keep walking.
Turn his nose up at that cooler.
Hey, thank you, Phil. G'day, Scott. How are you?
G'day, guys. How you going?
Excellent. What happened?
This was years ago. I used to work for Qantas at Melbourne Airport, and they had a Christmas bash in the bar up there.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of guys and girls trash. There was plenty of North action.
Yeah.
Guys running around in the terminal, drunk stealing pot plants. Federal police were on the chase. Guys buzzing on with taxi drivers. It looked like Baghdad.
Policeman taking a woman in all doubt holding a pot plant.
I didn't realise that there was just one big office party.
Yeah,
but
sounds good.
Sounds a lot of fun.
Thank you, Scott. Well done, sir. Hello there, Stephanie.
Hello. Look, mine's really brief, but basically a famous old Christmas party, and all I remember having drunken green chartreuse for the first time in my life was ending up under the table, literally under a table in a pub with one of my colleagues, who pointed out to me our boss's camel toe because her jeans way too tight and way too high. Well, yeah, we never mentioned it to her, but we certainly haven't stopped mentioning it to each other, and it's a pretty hideous memory, really.
Yes. Someone needs to actually ride a camel into this year's Christmas party and draw attention to it. Go with that one.
Thank you, Stephanie.
I noticed that, you know, a lot of office party stories begin with, I was drinking that stuff and I've never had that before.
Yeah, right.
Often the drink is just green.
Well, I think at our Christmas party, everyone's so immune to alcohol, it's just methylated spirits. Shots old when you walk into the Triple M one.
Perco Pops for all.
Absolutely right. G'day, Will. How are you?
Good, boys. How are you?
Excellent. What happened?
We were at a mate's Christmas party and then got drunk till early hours of the morning, and then near the end of the party, the host actually disappeared. We couldn't find him, and then we all slept over, and we woke up the next day, we were looking for him.
Yes.
Bloody nude at the bottom of his cupboard.
Oh, yeah.
What did he have to say for himself?
He said it was very comfortable.
I'll just stay here.
You'll be amongst the shoes. Stu, any ideas there?
No.
You going to go on Facebook at the next party?
Facebook's a good one.
There we go.
Thank you. Well, thanks to everyone who called in with a story like that. Can I just ask, in the creative department, Stu, it's years since I did that kind of work, are these phrases still popular? Thinking about carpet?
Definitely.
There's never been a better time to ...
I use that once a day.
any bargains be described as brain snapping at the moment, Stu?
Does everything have to go because somebody's overstocked by mistake?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of shipping errors around your way, at least, Stu.
You wouldn't believe the shipping errors.
What is it with the shipping errors?
They can't get it right. They cannot get it right.
Retailers still displaying outward signs of insanity. Is there still insanity?
Crazy prices.
Thank you, Stu. Thanks to everyone who called in. Thanks to everyone who took part. We've got to move up on the couch now because joining us in the next hour, a man who's been in so many films. Even if you don't know his name, you certainly know his face. Alan Rock.
Now in tatters.
Second hour of this around the nation on Triple M. Our guest today is Alan Rock. We're going to get to him over the course of this hour. And, of course, you're out here to present a great double feature screen in two films you were in. Tell us what they are.
Tomorrow we'll be screening Star Trek Generations.
Yes.
Yes, yes. And then we'll be doing that at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And then at 7:30 in the evening we'll be looking at Ferris Jewish they are.
And you were in both of those fine films.
That's true.
This is in Melbourne. But, of course, you're in Melbourne, I think, at the moment also is Robert De Niro. Now, he's been appearing on press conferences. He did a 20-minute press conference yesterday when he only said two things. He enjoys COD.
Yeah.
And
he reiterated COD.
Yeah, COD again.
So something about food being...
So that's COD squared.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, they're not getting a lot out of him.
So you're expecting something more from me?
Well, we're setting up some
would you mind speaking for Robert De Niro?
That's what we're asking. Sure. All right. Now, what we're asking, Al, are there areas you don't want to... Because it was a long list of things.
I don't want to talk about COD.
All right. COD's off the list.
Damn it.
The COD's off.
That's my question.
Well done, Richard. Well, you've got so many things to ask you. So let's just play some music and then get to them next. I'll get there. It's the second hour of Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. Thanks for tuning in. It's myself, Tony Martin. You've got Richard Marsden pushing buttons. You've got Ed Cavalli in the sidecar. And our co-host for this hour is Alan Rush. If people don't know your name, they certainly know you as, well, you're always described as Ferris Bueller's sidekick and Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Are you happy with, you know, that description? Do you mind on this hour of the show if we just say that now?
I can live with it for an hour.
Because we have got a lot of Ferris Bueller mania in this country. Is it odd to you that you can come halfway around the world to present a film that was made 22 years ago and people are still going up for it?
It's a little surreal, you know, but people are pretty nice. They haven't been scared yet. So.
Well, Richard Marsden may do that because he was telling us off here that he actually based his clothes on Ferris Bueller for a few years.
I've got to say, the fashion still holds up from that film and so does the music, but the Detroit Red Wings top that you wear, the red and white one, was so cool when that movie, I loved it so much and yeah. I couldn't find one in Australia. When I first went to America, that was one of my first points of business, was picking up a top like Cameron wear.
Did you still have it?
Yeah, I should have maybe brought it in and worn it, but that would have been a bit of a freak out, right?
You should have been scared. So I'm grateful. And as Richard pointed out, it is called Ferris Bueller's Day Off, but your character is kind of the guts of it, isn't it, really?
You know, well, he's the one with the drama. He's the one with the dilemma. He's the one that's troubled, and he's the one that sort of needs to get fixed. So it's his journey, really, and Ferris is sort of the magician who's pulling all the strings and making it happen.
And this was a movie that just brought the house down in cinemas. I'm old enough to remember it at the theatre. People loved it. Was there any sense when you were making it that this was going to be something good?
Well, I had a great time making it. I had a great time. Matthew and I were already friends. We had done a Broadway show together for 9 months, and then we went into the pictures. So we were pals. We didn't have to make that up.
Right.
And we had Hughes gave us a lot of leeway in sort of improvising and just running with things, you know. So we had a good time making it, but I had no idea. I just thought it was a nice job, and, you know, we'll see what happens. And when I saw the first rough cut, I was horrified, and I was like, well, I'm young. I can learn to do something.
Well, what did you do? Had you done many films before that, I think?
A handful. Yeah, just a few. I actually played Sean Penn's stupid friend in a movie called Bad Boys.
It's not the more recent Bad Boys.
No. It was the Sean Penn Bad Boys of like 1983 or something.
Was that always on the video cover, kind of Fight Club style?
Yeah.
He has to take a swing?
Yeah. He and Issa Morales are mortal enemies, and they wind up in a juvenile prison together, and they beat the hell out of each other.
Yeah. Hang on. I know what I'm thinking of. Were you in class?
I was. Bad Boys was the first movie I did in class. Was the second one.
Wow. Because Class ran for about a year and a half in New Zealand.
Popular.
It was the first MILF movie, I think.
Oh, really? Yeah.
What was your role in that? Were you?
Idiot. Idiot child. I think my name was Roger, but I really don't remember what happened. I was in that movie, and, you know, I always looked younger than I was, you know, so I was actually in my 20s when I made that movie. And John Cusack, that was his first movie ever, and he was 10 years younger than me, you know, and we were playing the same age, you know, so that's really what I remember about that.
These are real video shop movies.
Yeah.
Out the back. Ed worked at a video shop for years. Was Ferris Bueller on the stolen list?
Oh, as soon as it came in the door, you get two copies. You'd put one on the shelf and then just hand one to a teenager that was going to steal it anyway. So it really just cleared things up. You'd put it out, they'd walk in, here's yours, sir, and here's the one.
all the time.
Honesty is the best part.
You're going to steal this anyway, so just go.
Just take it down.
You know what I mean? Save us all the trouble of putting stickers on it. You know? Always
so. Now, who are the people who have you ever been to Australia before?
Sorry to ask that question.
I have not, and I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah. Who are the people who have brought you out?
It's the people from Culture Shock events.
Wow.
And some guys that are here in Melbourne and then in Sydney, and they get together and they put on Star Trek and sci-fi conventions.
Yeah.
And then they hit on upon this idea of showing some films and bringing some actors in to sort of host the events and do Q&A and
Now, you're in Melbourne tomorrow at the Astor. Oh, that is a great cinema. That's probably the best cinema in Melbourne.
I just was over there. It's beautiful. I saw the cat. It's got a cat.
I was just about to say.
It's got a real cat.
Yeah, and his or her name is Marmalade.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's where you'll be tomorrow presenting. Well, Ferris Bueller is in the evening at 7:30. Earlier in the day, Star Trek Generations. Now, is that your only connection to the Star Trek world, that one film?
No, last summer, actually, I was involved with a thing that's called Of Gods to Men, and it hasn't come out yet. And when it does, it's going to be given in webisodes. It's going to be delivered. You know what I mean? So you're going to be able to download, 25 or 30-minute segments, and that way you can complete the whole movie if
that Star Trek related.
Yeah, it's actually my character. It's John Harriman, but 15 or so years on.
Star Trek Generations was the one where the two Star Treks collided into each other.
Yeah, the marriage of the two worlds.
Is that the one that opens with William Shatner, living in a log cabin and riding a horse?
Wow.
You'll find out tomorrow.
It's been a while.
I don't know. Didn't he do that in a lot of pictures?
You're probably
in contract.
Yeah.
I love it when
it's the horse thing.
My favorite thing is Star Trek, because I don't really know much about Star Trek, but I love when you're flipping around on Foxtel, and it's inevitably the episode where Spock and Captain Kirk are in 1920s gangsters.
I'm replying that one.
When they go back in time.
Yeah.
Okay, but I don't want to suggest by any means that these are the only two films you've been in. We're going to need a 10-hour program to get through it all. And we're going to play a little game with the listeners called Was Alan Ruck In?
Which is a really great coincidence that you're here.
It's not Alan.
Otherwise, it would have been weird.
I'm happy to be of assistance. What a lucky break for us. More on that next. I'll get this. That'd be silver chair here and get this around the nation. Alan Ruck is with us today. He's been in everything and telling us some great stories, possibly unrepeatable ones off air. I think what we have said on air, Alan, has been in error. Did you say something that was wrong?
I did. I had been to the Astor Theatre earlier and met the Astor Theatre cat, and I said that the cat's name was Marmalade. Well, the cat called in quite upset, and the cat's name is Marzipan.
Well, this is why I'm trying to be up front. I just, Star Trek fans are listening. Who have we got? Is Matt Parkinson from the Melbourne Cage on the line? You there, Matt?
Yeah, g'day, everyone. How you going?
Thank you for the show today.
Listeners, I'm great, mate. The thing is, I'm a bit worried because I'm downstairs in my car just about to leave work, and I've found myself parked behind the car that you showed up in, which was driven by the boys from the Astor Theatre. And in the back windscreen of that car, they clearly have Star Trek Starfleet insignia sticker.
I see. And what, this doesn't bode well on the street?
No, it means you're travelling with Trekkies, mate.
But we're not going to be beset by ruffians or anything, are we?
Well, no, although you should worry. There is quite a significant Klingon population here. But the thing is, Alan...
In Melbourne?
Yes.
Klingon?
Yes, Parker?
How many of you travelled in the car, Alan?
Well, I don't know if I want to let this go. I mean,
how many people were in the car? It's important to know.
Okay, there were four of us.
Okay, well, when you get in the car to leave, it's important, just before they turn the key, it's important that you say, stand by to transport four.
All right, will do.
Very important.
All right, I'll remember that. I'm writing it down.
Okay.
That's right. You don't want to get the Star Trek fans offside. Like you say, you had only a couple of roles with Star Trek. Do you find, though, that you're invited to conventions?
Yeah, I've done a few. I mean, I'm down here.
Yeah. How many questions can you answer, though, honestly, about your character?
Well, he wasn't that deep, was he? be more stuff on the cutting room floor? Do they want to know that?
Well, no. I mean, they just want to know. You know, I didn't expect to be a Starfleet commander.
No, right.
That's not how I see myself.
No,
really. Right. You know. No, I don't. I don't shave and say good morning, Captain. You know, in the morning I just don't.
There it is.
Yeah.
So do you have a action figure?
If I do, I'm sure I'm not being paid for it.
All right, here we go. We've had so many letters when people knew that you were coming in. Listen to this. This is from Jason Abdallah in Sydney. He goes, how could you forget to mention Alan Ruck's instrumental performance in the movie Speed? Does the quote, we're at the airport, I've already seen the airport, mean nothing to you guys?
That man's a genius.
You were one of the people trapped on that bus, weren't you?
I was. Yeah, I was.
How long I trapped on the bus for real?
I think it was 10 weeks.
Wow.
On one bus or another. They had 13 different buses.
Yeah.
They had a bus that could be driven by a man up on the roof, and Sandy Bullock had a dummy wheel, you know, so she could be pretending to drive. And they had the one called the Pope Mobile that had this huge plexiglass cage welded to the front so the cameras could be there.
Right.
They had the bus that they jumped. It was filled with dummies.
That was filled with people in our costumes, you know.
Yeah. He actually jumped that thing. He got it. He jumped that thing about 50 feet at about 6 or 7 feet in the air.
Yeah. And what was your passenger's sort of characteristic? What were you the whining we're all going to die passenger, or were you the same?
I had a bit of that going on. You know, I was the tourist. I was the guy from somewhere else.
And did you make it into the second one when they were on a very unswift boat?
I had just scored Spin City.
Right.
I went in to do some looping for Twister, some
ADR. All right, Twister. Yes.
And Jan DeBont said, Alan, I have a pop for you in Speed 2. And I said, I can't. I'm going to New York to do this television show. He said, you can't. We're going to be on a boat. It's going to be great. but I couldn't.
But hang on. So some of the passengers from the bus did end up on the bus.
Yeah, I think.
That's quite a coincidence, isn't it, really?
Well, you know.
Oh, yes, I get out. Sorry.
Hollywood hell.
Just occurred to me.
One bad situation after another.
So many great. I see a TV show that I was a big fan of that you were in. It was called The Edge Sketch Comedy Show.
Yeah.
Was that Jennifer Aniston's first thing that she did?
No, I actually think that she was in Ferris Bueller, the series.
Right.
And I'm not kidding.
Wow.
Yeah, and I think she played the sister. I think she played Jeannie.
Right.
I think one season.
That was a great show, The Edge. Was it a popular show, though?
No.
No?
No, I mean, I think people, I don't think it
is. Cult success?
Yes, there we go.
It was ahead of its time. I remember there was a brilliant sketch on it where they had a TV executive talking about making TV shows that would be more what the viewers want to see.
Mm.
So they showed a sitcom where everyone on the sitcom's head was wired up to a sort of columnar with wires going up into the ceiling, and the idea was, if anything happened that people at home didn't like, they hit the don't like switch on their TV.
And what happened? Were they electrocuted? Or
people were just constantly electrocuted.
Yeah.
So the sort of Christina Applegate woman comes in and goes, I think I'm just going to put this big coat on, and then it'll be, I'll be taking this coat off.
Yeah.
And then the wacky neighbour came in, and I think his head just exploded the second he appeared.
you'd like to see more of this, then.
But it was such an accurate depiction of what is happening with TV, because I think when they cut back to the show later, it was just four girls in bikinis.
And a bunch of exploded people.
And just throwing people to each other in a lounge room.
Yeah, right.
And the approval rating was right. But it was a really smart sketch comedy show.
Yeah.
I think it'll be out on DVD. I think we'll see it again.
Hopefully.
What TV role do people know you for best, do you think, on Spin City? Would it be?
Yes, I think so, yeah. Yeah.
All right. You were talking before about the description of your character, you know, maybe the we're all going to die guy from Speed. Every place I looked up, you know, ever read about you in Spin City, great show, obviously. It was calls you the perverted co-worker. The pig.
Yeah.
Is that a...
I would say that's fairly accurate description.
Yeah.
Just a picture of your face. Perverted co-worker.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Nice.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's an international symbol.
Like a traffic sign.
Pervert. And my face with the spiky hair.
Is there a show you haven't been in? That's what we're asking today. Can you think of one that you haven't been in?
I wasn't in Chinatown.
In the movie Chinatown.
Yeah, much to my regret.
We're going to cross that off the list. We're going to play a game with the listeners. Was Alan Ruck in? You want to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do that next.
Dangerous and irresponsible.
It
around the nation on Triple M, brought to you by the Nissan Navara. Our special guest today is Alan Ruck. Was he in Twister? Yes. Yes, I think you'll find he was. Ferris Bueller, yeah, he was in that. Young Guns 2, yes, of course. We know he was in that as well. Cheaper by the Dozen, where Steve Martin had all of, yes. Yes, he was in that as the neighbour.
Now, in Young Guns, were you gun-toting?
I was, yeah. But I was the sad guy. I was the mopey guy.
Oh, right.
That's not who you want to be in West.
No.
You want to be the guy that comes and just kills everybody. And then, like, has a drink. You know, but I was, like, I was sort of sad.
Did you get any spittoon work?
Did you have yeah, I had, you know, what you do is you cut up licorice.
Oh,
so you don't have to really, you know.
Yeah. Get it to back in.
Yeah. But it'll get mad.
It'll get
yeah. After a while.
Alan, have you ever been the guy who gets to kill everybody?
Has that ever happened in your career?
Or are you just nice and moaning?
No. No big murders. No big murders in my career.
I'm sure it's been observed that you do bear an uncanny resemblance to Edward Norton. You do.
You
can't be denied.
Well, you know, I was actually in New York City, and I was getting ready to audition for Michael J. Fox for Spin City, and I was still smoking cigarettes at that time, and so I'm down the street smoking a cigarette, and this guy walks up to me and goes, "You are great!" And I'm like, "Well, thank you. Thank you."
And he said, "Oh, my God, you were so great. You were so scary. Wow."
You know, and I couldn't figure out what he was talking about because I was
Ferris Bueller?
No. He said, "What a creepy character." And I was getting ready to come out in Twister, which I was like one of the goof group. And I was like, "What do I chase in tornadoes and stuff?" And I was like, "Well," he said, "What a picture. What do you think?" And I said, "Well," he said, "How do you think it'll do?" I said, "Well, there's, you know, there's really good special effects." And he looked at me like a, you know, had three heads. And I said, "Wait, who do you?" And he said, "I just saw you in the picture last night, the Richard Gere picture."
I said,
I've never been in a Richard Gere picture. And then the guy walked off, and I, you know. So, see, this is one thing. As an actor, I thought, well, you know, not really a leading man, you know, a character actor, but, you know, nobody else really looks like me. So, you know, and then this guy comes along, and not only does he look like me, but he's like Academy Award material. You know, it's a little agitating.
Surely it's only a matter of time where you and Ed Norton are brothers. Surely that's going to happen.
Ooh, well, you know, that's pretty much up to Edward.
I don't know.
You know, if I put it out there, I think they're going to think of other things to do.
You say, okay, the character actors, they're the ones that I remember. They're the ones the love for 60 years, keep popping up and stuff,
like
you've done here.
And that's what I've lasted for 60 years.
Not 60 years.
You see the paper that this man hasn't done. I don't remember doing any of this stuff.
We just figured that's what we'll do. We'll say, people will just call up with any show, an American program.
Mm.
Oh, not from 60 years ago.
No.
From the last 15 years. Call us up with any show, maybe any movie, and we'll see if Alan Ruck was in it. Or if we can get 2 degrees away.
Mm.
You want to play that foolish-sounding game, Alan?
Sure.
You think anybody's going to call up and say, "Were you the night janitor at the Parmatown Shopping Mall in 1978? Because they will be right. Well, it could happen. We just want to meet the listeners. It's a chance to have a word to Alan. Call us now, 133353. It's The Cure. That's right here at Triple M. Get this, around the nation, Alan Ruck is with us today. He's been in so many films, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and, of course, Star Trek Generations. He's presenting both of those in Melbourne at the Astor Cinema tomorrow. But he just dropped quite an amazing fact. He just said, "All I know about James Woods is," what was it again? Did you say,
"Can we talk about that?"
I think James is listening.
Yeah. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, this is the kind of show where you literally can say what you just said off air. Because it's in the area of allegedly and rumor, isn't it, really?
Yeah, that once he had his penis super glued to his abdomen by
a wifey ex-lover.
Yes, yeah.
It's quite well known, but we've all been there.
Yeah.
We won't say who it was.
No, but we've all been there.
No, we'll just smear him.
Yeah.
133353, if you think you know who it was. James Woods' penis. No, that's not what we're playing.
No.
We're not down in the gutter.
No, not at all. All right, then. Hello, Sam. How are you?
Not bad. How you doing, team?
Excellent, sir.
How you doing, Alan?
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, the movie, I think it was with Charlie Sheen. It was Three for the Road.
Yeah.
Were you in the film for Three for the Road?
Yes, I was. Yeah, I think you are one of three people who saw that movie.
What was Three for the Road?
Not very good.
No, it was one of you, good one.
Yeah, it came out actually in the States. It actually played for...
a weekend. They didn't even allow it to run for the whole week.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And who was the lead in that?
Charlie Sheen and Carrie Green. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And she played a senator's daughter, and we basically kidnapped
her. Yeah. I think there are some Charlie Sheen super glue stories, too, that we won't have time to get to.
Not today.
Someone else is playing was Alan Ruck in. Who is it, Ed?
Hey, Tim.
Hey, how you going?
Excellent. Have a crack. Hey.
Crap.
Which show do you reckon he was in?
The one where he's trying to sue the hot doctor.
Oh. Scrubs?
Yeah, Scrubs.
Scrubs. Were you in Scrubs, Ellen?
Yeah, I was. I don't really do that, though, because I was a man in bed with a tube up his penis. So I wasn't really in a position to do any of that. But, I mean, but I don't recall.
All right, but that's technically a yes.
Yeah.
Right, good.
That's another yes. Who's going next?
G'day, Chris.
Yeah, I was just wondering if Alan Ruck was in The Untouchables.
The Untouchables?
I never was.
Okay,
can I just say one thing to Alan?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
I'd not say I saw you in one of the funniest things I've ever seen on television. It was in an episode of Spin City where James had Priscilla Presley in his room. And he was doing 9.5 weeks, but to a banjo. And then you rock up in the room and you do the funniest toe-down dance I've ever seen.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
It was great.
Well, he wasn't in The Untouchables, but he was in Spin City.
Thank you, Chris.
Who's going next?
Hello, Emma.
Hi, how you going?
Good.
Your name is Emma. My daughter's name is Emma.
Well, there we go.
Fabulous.
Well, I'm actually ringing to see not movie, what movie you're in, but what park you may have been in New York City. I think you were my only celebrity sighting when I was there in May.
Oh, wow. You were sighted in a park.
I think so.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in a park, Ellen?
I have. I've actually been in...
daughter?
Pardon me?
Is your daughter only very young, like about one?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, she's 19.
And can I ask, are you stalking Alan, Emma?
Well, I wasn't previously, but I presume I was at the time, yeah.
Right, well, he was in that park, so that's
well done.
Technically, yes. Very nice. Who's next?
Hello there.
This is a good game.
We don't often play it.
Yeah. But you're really good at it.
We have to wait till you're in town.
Oh, I see.
Who's next?
Hi, Mick. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you guys?
Excellent. Have a crack.
Was he in Grandma's Boy?
With Johnny Knoxville. Were you in that?
No, I was not, but I was in a show called Daddy's Girl.
Oh, give me that again. Aren't you glad you called? What was Daddy's Girl? Was that with Dudley Moore?
Look at you. Look at the brain on you.
Yeah,
it's good. Yeah, that was with Dudley Moore.
And what was your role in that?
I played Lenny, and I was described as the most boring man in America. Which is hard to be funny and be the most boring man in America. I was an optometrist.
When the agent calls you with that, you know, what's your reaction?
It's just how badly do you need the job? You know, it's like, how many bills need to be paid? And I'm taking it.
We've got Mark on the line. Mark, are you there?
Yeah, I am, man.
What do you reckon that Alan Ruck may have been in?
He was in a movie called The Three Fugitives with Nick Nolte.
You were?
Yes, I was.
And what was the story? Was that an orphan kind of?
Yeah, it was a remake of the French film.
Yes.
Yeah, and Martin Short played this single father, and he was strapped for cash, and he tried to rob a bank. Nolte played this guy that just got out of prison, and was trying to go straight, but he happened to be in that bank at the wrong time, and then they sort of became a
beautiful.
And then I played a cop, and the gun was bigger than me. The gun started, like, underneath my armpit and went down below, like, almost to my knee.
It's the biggest pistol you've ever seen in your life. It was hard to move around. And I'm just thinking, Three Fugitives, that was one of those French remakes, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Of course. Very nice.
Yeah, Mark's in Melbourne, and he's won himself a double pass to the Astor Cinema tomorrow at 2 p.m. to go and see Star Trek Generations.
Fantastic
work.
Let's have one more dip. Hello, Jill. How are you?
Hello, I'm good, thank you.
Hello, Jill.
Can you hear it? Have a crack.
I want to know why you weren't cast as Shaggy in the Scooby-Doo movie. Because I had your face in my mind when they were doing that, and they cast some other idiot.
Yeah. Is that a compliment to you?
Yeah, I love it. And,
it was a huge compliment to you, Alan. Sorry.
Thank you. Very sweet. And I think the thing was that I got a little long in the tooth, as they say.
No.
There was supposed to be, like, nutty 20-year-old Scooby-Doers, and I was
you don't look
so old. Advanced.
You could still play a nutty 20-year-old.
You don't look much older than the bloke you did, the guy from Scream.
Yeah.
Get you next time, Lilla.
Thank you.
Well, that's the first person who stumped us, I guess.
Those others were either there or near enough. We don't take the rules of our games that seriously, Ella.
Yeah, it's good. Everyone's a winner.
Everyone is a winner.
Yeah.
Here, get this. Oh, yes, Teenagers, My Chemical Romance. Here, get this around the nation where Alan Ruck is with us, and he was very nervous. He was worried that I'd made him say a word you can't say on the radio. You can say that word as many times as you want in this time slot, believe it or not, Alan. Say it again. Just enjoy yourself.
Penis.
There you go.
Oh, man.
As long as it's a friendly penis.
Penis.
I've been told if it's a friendly penis, it's fine.
Penis.
If it's a nasty penis, no.
Penis.
Okay, I think that's the quota.
All right.
I think that's the quota. We just got through. I mean, I still get the feeling we're just scratching the very top of your resume here.
You're a Victoria's Secret catalogue, I see.
The very bottom of your...
What is that?
What is that, Mr.
You're in the Victoria's Secret catalogue? What's this?
I've got some really nice getaway sticks. I have got the gams working.
I know I don't show them off too much, but it's all going on.
So I mean, I'm looking at you here. You got a lot of junk in the trunk. You're dragging that wagon.
Yeah.
Impressive.
Yeah, it's pretty good for a lot of swing on that type of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know,
for a skinny guy. Is there a credit of yours that, you know, moving away from Ferris Bueller and well-known ones like that, is there one of yours that's not that well-known that you think needs a bit more kudos that, you know, is one that you're particularly proud of?
No, there's just things that I've done. You know, I've done some things that people have seen, and then I've done other things. There's a movie that I had a very tiny part in called Everything Put Together, and it's a very sad movie with Rhoda Mitchell.
Yeah, Australia.
And she's quite brilliant, and I don't do much in it at all. My friend Megan Mullally, do you know who she is? Will and Grace.
Yeah.
She called me up some years back, and I was in New York, and she said, listen, I'm doing this low-budget picture, and I want you to play my husband, and you have to come out here, and there's no money, and they can't fly you, and there's no hotel.
Yes.
And so I was like, okay. And so I did it, and it's a wonderful movie, and it's incredibly sad, and it went to Sundance, and people from the studios would see it, and would come out of the screenings weeping, and they would be like, we can't buy it. Because it's just, you know, it was just too sad, to be seen.
Well,
it was like stuff like that, you know.
You know what often happens there is if they have a movie at Sundance and it's a bit sad, they go, what we'll do is we'll put it out, but they change all the music, and suddenly Katrina and the Waves Walking on Sunshine is under the scene where the cancer patient is being led down to the beach.
Yeah.
Do you notice that?
Yeah.
Jaunty music can save any film. Make it more appealing.
What have you got coming up that we should know about?
What are you working on?
I told you about the Gods and Men.
Tell me what that is. That's a web series? Or?
Yeah. It's actually my character from Star Trek Generations, John Harriman, and Uhura.
Yes.
And Chekhov.
Right.
This is like 15 or so years later, and we're all friends, and then I can't get too much away,
sure,
but there's
stuff happens.
Oh, man. And you know, but the way it's going to be served up is when it's all ready to go, it's going to be served in installments on the web, and you can download, say, 30 minutes, so it'll be like maybe 3 or 4 installments of the picture.
But do you really think that Star Trek fans would be interested in getting onto the internet? I mean, I just don't know whether that will
be how it goes.
How that goes.
Yeah.
Mr. What are you doing, Mr. Cavalier? You're not going to embarrass our guests with photos from Borgus.
I am. We have theme months here. We had Caperl, encouraging people to wear capes to work, send in a photograph, win a crap prize. We're now in August. People wanted Norgus.
No, what is that?
I'm scared.
To do with breast cell.
We couldn't do that. But instead, one of our
little legs, but nothing
went on up upstairs.
Yeah.
But instead, we've gone for Borgus. Now, the idea being that the listeners dress up as the Borg, poorly, mind you, and win, get this, remote control helicopter.
Dang.
Yeah.
But hang on. You're going to show one of them?
Well, everything. You've been in Star Trek. You know what the Borg looks like. Describe what you're seeing there.
There's like 4 giant nipples with cables attached to them, sort of attached to him in his face.
Brilliant. And he's the front runner. Yeah. Meet our listeners, Alan.
Yeah.
You know, you're leaving out the big news, because you know what we celebrate every year here in Australia?
What's that?
Rucksober. Isn't it?
Absolutely right.
People just go nuts for Alan Ruck for a whole month. Stations based their promotion.
What am I doing here now?
Come on,
a little early.
What are you doing here now? Good question. Alan, do you mind sticking around for one more break?
No, I'm fine.
Let's do that here again.
I'm going to stare at this picture of this interesting man.
Alan Ruck, thank you for sitting in for the whole hour. What a treat. Now, there are so many places you can meet Alan if you're in Melbourne. At the theatre, that is such a good cinema. We have a campy down there 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon for Star Trek Generation 7:30. But there is still a day off. Sunday, the Geelong Guide Hall. Wow, that is going to be going off for some kind of Star Trek-related convention, if you can imagine such a thing. Alan's going to be there at 12 p.m. midday, Sunday.
Any member of Sci-Fi Fan Club can think that nothing.
That's actually not true. Post up, you're talking about another gig next Sunday week at the Lift World Club in Western Sydney, 10 o'clock at open. Like to say, any kind of Sci-Fi Club you're in, free. Okay. Saturday the 25th, next Saturday at the Chevelle Cinema, 3 p.m. There is still a day off. Sydney,
I don't know if that cinema has a cat. Bring a cat. Take one of those.
Bring your own. And for our Brisbane listeners, just go and rent any film. Yeah, in fact, have a look. There's so many to choose from, Alan. Thank you for sitting in, and thanks to everyone who tuned in today. Send us in something. At the end of the week, I must thank Malcolm Lombardi, Nicky Hamilton, our producer, Nicky, Daryl, the Possum, and sincerely dealing with the filthy phone calls. All the knock jockeys around the network. It's probably too much fun as always. And our pet phrase today, I think it was simply, Rucks Over.
I will not shrink from a fight with anybody.